This information is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is offered with the understanding that the presenters are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If legal advice or other expert advice is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.
Welcome to the Colorado Springs Real Estate Investing and Real Estate Financial Planning Podcast. Learn all about investing in real estate in Colorado Springs, Colorado, with a combination of real estate financial planning and modeling with numbers specific to Colorado Springs, plus syndicated, more generalized recordings of live and pre-recorded real estate investing classes, not all of them specific to Colorado Springs. Be sure to stay tuned after the podcast for a message from our sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. I am your host, James Orr, and today we have a very short class, and a class that, while I will go over all the information you need, you probably should not do what I'm about to tell you. This class is all about how to calculate private mortgage insurance. If you are going to go buy a rental property, the lender would prefer that you put 20% down. Heck, if you're going to go buy any property, the lender would prefer you put 20% down. However, some real estate investors, especially house hackers and the nomad strategy folks, are going to want to put less than 20% down. You know, some non-owner occupant investors are going to choose to put less than 20% down. They may do like the 15% down non-owner occupant loan in order to acquire the property. And the lender will say to you, look, if you're going to insist on putting less than 20% down, I will very reluctantly still make you this loan. I'm going to charge you a slightly higher interest rate. And in addition to that, I want you to go pay this third party insurance company, an insurance premium that would protect me in case you default. If you put 20% down, I feel relatively protected making you this loan in case you stop making payments and I need to come in and I need to foreclose and I need to go take possession of the property and then do a little fix up, do a little marketing usually with a real estate agent and sell the property to get all my money back. However, if you're going to put less than 20% down, I feel less confident that I'm going to be able to get my money back in case you default. And so I want you to go pay this third party insurance company, and the insurance company will actually insure me against you defaulting. So you as the borrower are paying an insurance policy to protect the lender in case you default because you are insisting on putting less than 20% down. And so the question is, how do we calculate that private mortgage insurance payment? That's what we're going to cover in today's class. And so really, there are two options. Number one, ask your lender. And that is by far the easiest and probably the preferred way of getting your private mortgage insurance rate. However, there are some of you out there that are like, you know, James, I really would prefer to calculate this on my own. I want to know like what goes into doing the calculation, like what are the factors so that maybe I could choose to do certain things or make certain decisions rather than do other things that are going to give me a higher private mortgage insurance rate. And so the other way to do it is use the private mortgage insurance rate sheet, and I will walk you through an example of what that is and how that works. So for those of you watching the video, this is what a rate sheet looks like. It's the front and the back, and it walks you through exactly how to calculate the private mortgage insurance rate for a property that you're about to buy. And I'm going to walk you through an example and show you exactly how to do it here in a second. Okay. So the first thing is make sure you're looking at the right table. As you can see, there are several different tables here that you could do for a fixed rate financing, for non-fixed rate financing, for ones that are greater than 20 years in length, for ones that are less than 20 years in length. There are four different primary tables to choose from. So make sure you're picking the right one. So we are showing you the amortization term greater than 20 years. So we're doing like a 30-year loan in this example. So we're choosing that right table. Then once you find the right table, then you want to select your credit score from across the top. So find out what your credit score is. Either use one of these services to kind of like give you your kind of credit score, or better yet, pick one lender that you're going to use and find out from them what your credit score is so that they can get an official number. Because most of the time, these free services that provide you like a credit score, like a Credit Karma as one example, They will provide you an estimated number. It is not the exact one. And when you call the lender, they're going to actually do the correct number, and they'll be able to tell you exactly what it is. So your credit score has a major impact on what your private mortgage insurance interest rate or private mortgage insurance rate is going to be, the amount you're going to pay for it. And then once you do that, then you select your loan to value. So let's say someone's got greater than 760 credit score, and let's say they are putting up 5% down. So we're going to use the 95% to the 90%, 90.01 range. So if you're doing 5%, you're going to be in this area, okay? And then from here, there are three different options, and you need to find out from your lender what amount of coverage they are going to require, because they get to decide which one of these coverages that they're going to do. And it basically says how much protected they are from the insurance company. Okay. So they'll tell you which one of these that they're using here, which is why you probably should just call your lender and get this anyway. But if you want to calculate it, this is how you do it. And so these are the three different ones. If they say, look, I want 30 coverage. So they'll tell you to use this number. So 0.38. So that's what you're going to use for your kind of base rate. Then once you have the base rate, there are adjustments they make based on your credit score and these factors that apply to you. For example, we're still using this kind of 760 credit score. So all of these adjustments matter. So in this case, we said it was 0.38. If you're buying the second home, this is not your primary residence where this is going to be a second home for you, then you're going to add in 0.12. So plus 0.12. So now instead of 0.38, it's going to be 0.5. Okay. If you were doing an employee relocation home, in this case, it would be negative 0.02. So you'd subtract a little bit. If this was a manufactured home, they're going to penalize you a little bit. And they're going to say add plus 0.18. If you're not buying a single family home or a duplex, if you're going to buy a 3-unit or a 4-unit property, a triplex or a fourplex, they're going to say add a penalty of 0.34, plus 0.34 on that. If you're going to do a lender paid monthly premium, if the lender is going to pay this basically for you, they're going to add a penalty of 0.04 rather. Okay. If you have declining renewals, which I'm not even sure what that is, maybe it's that the renewals go down, then that's add 0.02 to that. If there is an annual premium and it's refundable, which I'm not even sure they offer those anymore, it's negative 0.02. And if it's a refundable monthly premium, you're going to add in 0.01. Then there are two other major adjustments. Number one, if you have a greater than 45% debt to income ratio. So again, you'd have to calculate your own debt to income ratio in order to be able to calculate this, or call a lender because they're going to have calculated your DTI already anyway when you go and apply for the loan. So they're going to be able to give you this factor automatically too. So if you're greater than 40% DTI, then you pick the amount of your loan to value. In this case, we assume we're doing 95%. So then you're going to add in 0.09 if you're over 45% DTI and you're only putting 5% down. Okay. And then if it's just you borrowing, then this is the normal rate. However, if it's you and someone else or more, if it's two or more people, then they're going to actually give you a discount on the rate. And so if you're doing 5% down, it is negative 0.09. So you can see that there are lots of adjustments and lots of factors that go into this, which is why I don't recommend you do it at all. But I wanted to walk you through exactly what is involved in here. So in general, though, let's take a look at and summarize this. In general, you're going to pay an extra premium if it's a second home. And the lower your credit score is, the higher that premium is. You can kind of see it increases there. If you're getting an employee relocation loan, you're actually going to get a discount for doing that. And actually, the discount is bigger the lower your credit score is. So you get a bigger discount for having a lower credit score, oddly enough. And then manufactured homes, there's a penalty for doing that. And it increases pretty significantly, even more so than the second home one, based on how low your credit score is. So it gets worse with worse credit. If you're doing 3 to 4 units, that is also a penalty, and that gets worse. That is by far the largest increment right here. If we look at the lowest credit score, that's a plus 0.75, and that is the largest of all the different options. The next largest one is that manufactured home, if I'm eyeballing this right. If you're doing lender paid monthly, I'm not even going to go over some of these. You can kind of look at those. The DTI ones, though, those penalties are pretty significant, too. It could be as high as 0.38 for that. And then whether or not you have more than one borrower on there, you could actually end up saving as low as negative 0.18 if you have low credit score based on that. Okay. So you can see the different numbers there. And once you have your number, let's say you add all them up and it's, you know, 0.6. Okay. Then what you do is you take your premium rate, 0.6 times the amount that you're borrowing, and that gives you your annual premium. So if you're borrowing $100,000 and it's 0.6, I think that is $600 a year. And then you take that number, you divide by 12. So in this case, it'd be $50. And that would be your monthly premium rounded to the nearest cent. That's how you calculate what your monthly PMI would be. Okay. And in case you're like, hey, I don't want to go watch this video again, it literally walks you through it on the PMI rate sheet. So you just need to go find out which PMI company, because there's more than one and the lender gets to choose. It's not like you get to decide, you know, oh, I want to, no, Mr. and Mrs. Lender, I want you to use this particular one because they have the better rates. Nope, the insurance is to protect the lender. They're pretty much going to say, hey, I want you to use one of either this insurance company, or I can shop around between these because my company has approved these one or two or three or whatever it is that they do. Okay, so they're usually going to dictate which insurance company do. So you want to get the rate sheet from them and do the calculation. Or, as I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, just call your lender and ask them what your PMI rate is instead of going through all of these different things in order to do that. Okay, so to recap, lenders prefer you put 20% down. If you insist on putting less than 20% down, they may opt to make you pay. They may opt to make you the loan, but they may require that you purchase third-party insurance to protect them in case you default on the loan. This third-party insurance is called PMI, private mortgage insurance. And we include PMI in your deal analysis when you do the deal. If you want to actually calculate it yourself, I just walked you through how to do it. You can get an estimate. But really what you should probably do is find out what your rate is from the lender and then use that in your own calculations. But call the lender, do it. Don't calculate it yourself. All right, this is all I got for you. This has been James Orr. Hopefully you enjoyed this very short class where I basically told you at the beginning, don't listen to this. Just call your lender and get your PMI rate. But now you at least know what some of the factors are and why it's so hard to get a straight answer from a lot of folks as to what your PMI is going to be, because there are so many factors. Like, your credit score is going to be a factor. Your loan to value is going to be a factor. How many people are on the loan is going to be a factor. Your DTI is going to be a factor. Second home, you know, three or four units. Like, all of these things come into play. So that's why it's tricky. All right, that's all I got for you. This has been James Orr. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye for now.
With home prices up, mortgage interest rates up, and rents up, but not quite enough to counteract the higher prices and interest rates, cash flow on rental properties in Colorado Springs is harder than ever. Book a call with the Real Estate Financial Planner to apply our proprietary 88 strategies to improve cash flow on your rentals. See the show notes for a link to schedule your call and improve your cash flow today.
If you're a real estate agent, lender, or professional in Colorado Springs that wants to help our real estate investor listeners, consider reaching out to learn about collaboration opportunities with this podcast. We'd love to add more value to our listeners by having you assist our investors buy, sell, and finance their real estate investments. See the show notes to schedule a call to discuss collaboration opportunities.